Turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 16, the Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus, and turn to chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, let us begin our reading at verse 8 and read through verse 10. This is in the context of the Day of Atonement. Leviticus chapter 16, beginning with verse 8. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat that the lot fell on for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, and it shall be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Lord, we give you thanks for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to better understand what we're about to celebrate in just a few minutes. Lord, help us to see just the extent you're willing to go to deal with our sin, and the extent that your love just abounds to your people. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What do the following phrases have in common? A drop in the bucket, bite the dust, by the skin of his teeth, give up the ghost, sour grapes, and rise and shine. The answer is this: all those phrases come from the Bible. But a lot of those phrases no longer carry the biblical meanings because those phrases have joined the ranks of everyday English. And you can add another word, which is scapegoat, which basically in verse 8, Azazel, you could translate it scapegoating. Azazel in verse 10, a place where, well, we'll talk about that in a moment. But scapegoating. In the Bible, the idea of scapegoat goes back 3,500 years to the Day of Atonement. It is a day that is still celebrated by the Jews, a day in which the high priest and no one else was allowed to enter the most holy place in the temple to make atonement for the sins of God's people. On this Day of Atonement, the high priest would lead two goats into the most holy place. And these two goats provide for us this day two windows through which we see what must happen if God is going to deal with our sin. The big idea here from this verse and from the Bible is this: because God moves in grace to bring comprehensive forgiveness for our sin, we can celebrate the Lord's Supper. Notice in the first place, the first goat is a window through which we see how God cleanses our sin. That's the first goat. The first goat is a window through which we see how God cleanses our sin. Look at verse 9. It says, Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. The first goat's a preacher. And the message is, sin brings guilt. Sin brings death. God warned Adam and Eve, disobedience brings guilt. Disobedience brings death. And to reverse and ultimately to cancel the curse of sin and death, which is what we deserve because the wages of sin is death. In order to cancel that, a substitute would have to die in the place of the sinner. In other words, the sacrifice of the first goat is a sin offering. It is an innocent goat slaughtered in the place of guilty people. And because sin is punished through the sacrifice of that first goat, justice was done, and people who trusted in the Lord's provision of this first goat sacrifice were cleansed from all their sin. This sacrifice provides a window through which we see into the future. a window through which we see another innocent dying in the place of guilty people. Why? For the cleansing of sin. And this time the innocent is not a goat. The innocent is Jesus Christ. And the sacrifice is not something that is repeated over and over again every year on the Day of Atonement. No, friends, Jesus' sacrifice for our sin is a once and for all time sacrifice. The innocent Son of God dying in the place of every guilty sinner who trusts in Christ. Today, if you believe that Jesus took your sin upon Himself, if you believe Jesus received in Himself the death penalty you deserve for your sin, this matter is settled. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us not from some sin, not even from most sin, but cleanses us from every sin. Friends, this cleansing is true. It is glorious. It is wonderful. We teach it. We sing about it. We celebrate it later on this morning. We share this good news. Our sin has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But for us to celebrate this comprehensive forgiveness of God's grace, that God's grace alone provides, we need to consider what happened to the second goat. That brings us to the second point. The first goat is a window through which we see how God deals with our sin. But, and this is so important today for us as we live day to day, the second goat is a window through which we see how God deals with our shame. How God deals with our shame. Now we know from the story of Adam and Eve, besides spiritual death, besides real guilt, sin also brings separation from God. And the first response, do you notice the first response of Adam and Eve back in Genesis 3 when they were separated from God? It was the response of shame. God said, "Who told you you were naked?" "Well, I covered myself." Because, well, who told you? You know, where's this shame coming from? Well, you've heard where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, when sin separates us from God, there's shame. Shame is sin's linebacker blitzing us and sacking us behind life's line of scrimmage. For Israel's sake, for our sake, listen to this, we need both cleansing from sin and relief from the shame that sin brings to us. You know, it's all well and good for someone to forgive you for, let's say, theft, or murder, or adultery. But when the result of your sin, whether that's stolen money, or a corpse, or a jilted spouse, is sitting by the side of your bed every morning, every day when you wake up like an alarm clock, the shame of your sin will stick to you like mud on the fender of a tire, mud baked by the hot sun to a hard finish. There's not a person in this room, no one, who is not dealing right now with guilt over past sins. So what do you do with it? Here's the scapegoat. It's here in verse 8. It's here in verse 10. There's other versions of it where this is fleshed out in the law. But here's the scapegoat. It's a powerful picture of forgiveness. When you think about it, this is such a basic grade school lesson for a young Hebrew child. Think about it. "My child, here's two goats. See this goat? See this goat die. See this goat die for your sin. Now, see this goat? He's the scapegoat. Let's watch as the high priest lays his hands on the scapegoat and confesses all of your sin, all of my sin, all of our sin, over this scapegoat. The priest transfers our transgressions, our sins, from us onto this scapegoat. Now watch this, child. Watch as all our jealousy and greed and lust and pride and all the shame associated with all our sins walks out from the camp into the wilderness, walks out into that place where Satan no longer accuses us. He can't. And that is the lesson that Professor Scapegoat teaches. Now, through this window provided by this second goat, we see Jesus. See what Jesus did? He took our sins upon Himself, and then He left the camp. Jesus had our transgressions transferred to Him so He could separate us from our sins and remove our shame. And let us never forget Golgotha, the place where Jesus was crucified. That wasn't an upscaled Jerusalem gated suburb. Golgotha was an execution venue. And where was it? Outside the walls of Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we approach the table this morning, let us never forget, Jesus walked out of His city. Jesus walked out of His city where He was the true King. He left the camp. He walked out of Jerusalem. He carried the cross on His back, a back ripped to shreds. But here's what else Jesus did. He carried on His back, hear this, the shame of everything you and I have ever done. I hope you can comprehend that. I really do. You see, Jesus is your... Remember, just associate scapegoat, shame. Because Jesus was your scapegoat, we can echo these words from Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Our sins are now at a place, because of Jesus, where the devil cannot accuse us. No accusation. So think about this. Two goats. Our sins canceled by the blood of Jesus. Why? Because He died in our place for our sin. And our shame is removed by Jesus. Think about that. Sin and shame. All that dealt with, solved. Forgiveness, comprehensive, God's grace seen through the windows of two gospel goats. This morning, why don't you join me as we celebrate together the wonder of what these two gospel goats provide for us in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we give You thanks that You have given to us all through Scripture, even back in Leviticus, pictures of Your forgiveness. Pictures of how our sins have been cleansed, completely washed away by Jesus, not because of what we do, but because Jesus died in our place for our sin. Our sin has been forgiven. Our sin has been cleansed. But yet, Lord, so many of us carry around shame. Shame from past sins. Lord, help us to understand our shame has been removed by Jesus. And what we have, what we celebrate this morning is comprehensive forgiveness. Lord, help us to look at what you've done for us through the lens of our sin being forgiven and our shame being taken away. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Them through the death of Jesus Christ. And so if you believe that, if you embrace Christ as your Savior, then you are welcome to, and if you're a member in good standing of any church that preaches this gospel, you're welcome to participate in this sacrament. Second reminder is this: we will hold the elements and take them at the same time. Hear now the words of institution, the Lord's Supper from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The Bible says Jesus took this bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks. Let's also give thanks. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for what this bread represents, that your wrath was poured out against sin, totally, completely exhausted on your Son, Jesus Christ, that your Son, Jesus Christ, received what we deserved for our sins in himself, that his body was literally broken on the cross for our sin. Lord, help us to this morning understand both the weight and the severity of the sin from which we've been redeemed, and help us understand the completeness of the forgiveness that we have because someone else, Jesus Christ, was punished in our place. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.